Our Bible read, we're going to get through that again?
Well, I don't know, the screen went funny there.
Ah, okay, sorry. The end of that hymn? We sung them all? Okay. Thought there was more to come. That's always a good sign, right enough, if we're wanting more. So we're going to hear our Bible reading this morning, and you know we've had different people recording every Sunday. This has been a tremendous thing we've done. Francis and I, we also did this through our probation last summer, and it was single verses in the Bible on the faithfulness of God, and we really enjoyed preaching through it. So I've had a great time as well this summer. I think that's us in week six. But the good thing here is we've had folks recorded reading for us again, rather than getting people up to do the Bible reading. It's only one verse and sit down. So far we've had, well, this is our second footballer today, but so far we've had two footballers, one from Dundee, one from Dundee United. Our Presbytery Clerk's done one. Our past interim moderator recorded one. And a past moderator of the Church of Scotland, all the way from Bermuda, Martin, done one for us. So this morning we have this player from Dundee United. He's a young lad. His name's Jojo. He came through Brenda, the sports chaplain at Dundee United Football Club. She's over in Downfield Mains Church, and Jojo attends that church. So he was very honoured to be able to read this for us this morning. And watch this space. We have another few crackers coming up on the Sundays. Really looking forward to some of the people who are still to read for us. The last Sunday will be the last Sunday in August, and that will be us finishing our summer preaching series. So let us again come before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, we thank you for the gift of your word that shows to us the size of your love. Lord, we confess there's things in our own life that we've tried to hide, things that we are so ashamed of, and things that we so wish that we never done. And yet we come knowing that we cannot clean ourselves up or make ourselves worthy of your love. But gracious God, we also come knowing that you have made a way for us to be cleansed. Oh God, we thank you for the promise that we find in your word today, a promise that is sure because it is rooted in your character. So Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts now and help us to understand the wonder of your forgiveness and the freedom that comes from confession. Would you show us the beauty, Lord, of the gospel message that sets captives free, so that we would leave here today with a deeper understanding for what it means to be forgiven children of God. All this we pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Saviour, and our King. Amen. There once was a woman, a Christian woman, who had carried a secret burden for over 20 years. She'd done something really bad in her past, something that made her feel shame every single day of her life. She'd never told anyone about it, not her husband, not her children, not even her closest friends or family. No one knew what this woman had done. She went to church every Sunday morning. She said all the prayers. But inside, she felt that something just wasn't right. She was convinced that if people knew what she had done, then they would never accept her. And she was certain that God could never truly forgive her. Until one day, she finally found the courage to speak to someone. It was her minister. And through her tears, she told her minister everything. And when she'd finished, the minister opened his Bible to 1 John 1, verse 9. And it reads these words: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us or cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness, her minister said. That includes what you've done. It includes what I've done. It includes what we all carry. God's forgiveness is so much bigger than our sin. And you know, for the very first time in over 20 years, that woman felt a weight completely lifted from her shoulders. and she finally discovered what it meant to be truly free. What a beautiful story. So this morning, as we continue our summer preaching series on single verses in the Bible on the faithfulness of God, as I said earlier, we're now in week 6 in that series. This week, we will look at a very specific part of God's faithfulness, and that is his faithfulness to forgive. It says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that young Jojo read for us this morning, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know, these really lovely words, they've brought comfort to millions of believers throughout history. They get right to the heart of the deepest human need, and that is the need for forgiveness and the need for a fresh start. But before we get to the verse, the context of this is that John is writing to believers who are really struggling at that time with false teachers, who said that sin didn't really matter. They could live however they wanted without consequences, if only that was true. John is making it clear that sin is real, and it does matter. But you know, the great truth is that God has made a way for us to be completely forgiven and cleansed. So a few things that verse can hopefully change our understanding of God's forgiveness. The first one is this: forgiveness needs confession. Forgiveness needs confession. John says, if we confess our sins. So that word, if, it's a conditional statement. God's forgiveness is available to everyone, but it's not automatic. It needs something from us. It needs confession. The word confess here, it doesn't just mean to admit that we've done something wrong. The Greek word means to say the same thing or to agree with. So when we confess our sins, we're agreeing with God about what we've done. We're saying, God, you're right. I have sinned against you, and I take full responsibility for my actions. It's so important because often people want forgiveness without the confession part. But that's not how God's forgiveness works. Forgiveness, it needs honesty. It needs us to stop making excuses and just simply agree with God with what we've done. It doesn't mean that we grovel or we beat ourselves up. You know, you've heard me saying we use that invisible baseball bat. We do not do that. We do not beat ourselves up. It just means that we have to be honest. We have to call sin what it is, sin. And here's the great thing about it. God already knows what we've done. He's not waiting for us to tell him about our failures. He's only just waiting for us to be honest about them. So when we confess, we're not telling God something that he doesn't already know. We are just agreeing with what he already knows to be true. The second thing is this: God's forgiveness is guaranteed by his character. John says, when we confess, God is faithful and just and will forgive us. He says God will forgive us. This forgiveness is guaranteed by two parts of God's character: his faithfulness and his justice. God is faithful, and we've saw that through our preaching series so far. It means that he keeps his promises. When God says something, he'll always keep his promise. And God has promised to forgive everyone who confesses their sins, and he cannot and will not break that promise. And I hope we've been able to see that through this series so far. But John also says that God is just. That means he's a God of justice. That might be a wee bit confusing at first. How can a just God forgive sin? Because justice usually requires punishment. And you know, this is where the gospel comes in. Because God's justice does require punishment. But that punishment was already paid by Jesus on the cross. When Jesus died, he took the punishment that we deserved. Justice was satisfied. And now God can forgive us without compromising his justice. That's what makes the gospel such good news. It's not that God overlooks our sin or he kids on, it doesn't matter. It's that God has dealt with our sin through the death of his son. So when we confess our sins, God doesn't forgive us just because he's nice or he's feeling a wee bit generous that day. He forgives us because justice has been satisfied through the cross of Jesus. And the third thing is this: God's forgiveness is complete. John says that God will not only forgive us our sins, but also purify us, as some translations say, or cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's beautiful, isn't it? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this is more than just about forgiveness. It's about cleansing. When God forgives, he doesn't just take away the guilt of our sin, but he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So the word cleanse or purify means to cleanse completely, to make pure. And you know, that is such good news for us. When we confess our sins, God doesn't say, you know, I forgive you, but you're still dirty. He says, I forgive you, and I am making you clean. And notice that John says all unrighteousness, all of it. Every failure, every mistake, every sin, every wrong thought, every wrong action, all of it is forgiven and cleansed when we confess our sins. I don't know if you've heard me saying before, I do not know where they get this figure from, but I read somewhere that said 16%, now I thought it was higher, right? 16% of all human thinking, every thought you get in a day, is downright shocking and unrepeatable. You could not tell another person. 16%. I honestly thought it would be higher than that. And we know what goes on in here and in here. And that was the sins Jesus was actually worried about. Frank Turek, who you've heard me speak a lot about, he wrote, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. It was a massive part of my journey into faith when I read that. He's got this great analogy. He says, if you woke up this morning, right, and you looked in the mirror in the bathroom, and there was a big, massive sign stuck to your head, and you couldn't get it off, and in that sign, it transmitted every thought you ever have, would you be sitting here today? I'd still be in the bathroom. You would not be here today. Transmitted every thought you ever had, and you couldn't get it off, you would not be sitting here. So we know what goes on in here and in here. But you know, when we confess our sins, God immediately forgives us and he cleanses us. And that forgiveness, it's instant and complete. There's one more thing that I think we can forget about when we talk about forgiveness. Stephen and I speak about this quite a lot. The hardest person to forgive often is yourself. This is a thing that I have struggled with for most of my life. To forgive yourself. You know, many of us have certainly believed in my life that God forgives us because his word says so. Yet I've continued at times to carry the guilt and the shame of my past as if the cross were not enough. But you know, refusing to forgive ourselves, it's really just another way of saying that our sin is greater than Christ's sacrifice. And it's not. So when God forgives, he says to us, you are cleansed. Completely cleansed. And part of living in this freedom that 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says is letting go of what God has already dealt with us. So many times in my Christian journey, right, I've had help, I've confessed, I've worked through it, and then I continually try and go back there and drag this stuff up that God's already dealt with. And that is not good. If the God who is faithful and just has forgiven us, then we are free to forgive ourselves and then walk in the newness that he has given to us. So I wonder, what does all this mean for, what does all this mean for us today and how do we apply this to our lives? I've used this 3 takeaway. Gavin gave me some good feedback on this and I've had a few other bits of feedback and the people seem to really like it written down like this. So the first takeaway is this. It means that we don't ever have to carry the weight of guilt and shame. When we confess our sins, God forgives us completely. He doesn't hold our past against us. He doesn't keep a list of our failures. And some of us, I know we carry guilt for years. We carry shame for a long time as well, convinced that we are beyond God's forgiveness. But you know, God's word tells us something completely different. No matter what we've done, and no matter how long we've carried it, God's forgiveness is there for us all. All we have to do is confess. Secondly, it means that we can live with confidence and freedom. When we know, really know, that our sins are forgiven, We can live boldly for God. We don't have to hold on to that. You know, the fear of failure because we've done something wrong in the past. We don't have to be pure crushed by guilt when we mess up. We can confess, receive forgiveness, and then move forward from that. You know, this does not give us a license to just sin as we please, but it should give us a freedom to live and give us the confidence to try again when we fail, because we do fail many times. So it should give us confidence to try again when we fail. And thirdly, it means that we can experience the peace that comes from knowing that we are right with God. David writes in Psalm 32, verse 7, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." I just love that. "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." So when we confess our sins and they're forgiven and we're cleansed from all unrighteousness, we can hide in God and we can find peace in his presence. So I wonder this morning if there's anyone here today who's maybe never experienced this forgiveness. Maybe you've been carrying guilt and shame for a long time. Maybe you've convinced yourself that you're beyond God's forgiveness. Maybe you think God can never love someone like you. Oh, listen, I know how that feels. I honestly know how that feels. I have thought that so many times in my life, even my Christian journey, I have thought so many times that God could not possibly love someone like me. Well, let me tell you the good news of the gospel this morning. God loves you exactly as you are, but he loves you far too much to leave you there. I love that. God loves you exactly as you are, but far too much to leave you there. He sent his son Jesus to die for our sins. Jesus took the punishment that we deserved so that we could be forgiven. And all we have to do is confess our sins and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And when we do, God will forgive us completely and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we will be made new and set free. This is not about trying to be good enough or striving or trying to be a better person, trying hard. This is simply about receiving the gift of forgiveness that God offers to us through Jesus. And you know, for those of us maybe here this morning who have received this forgiveness in our own lives, this reminds us that confession should be a regular part of our lives. We don't confess once and never again. We confess often. Why? Because we sin often. I was always encouraged to keep short accounts with God. Don't let them build up. Just regular communication through the day. And if that's about asking for forgiveness for a wrong thought or a wrong motive or something that's coming into my head that shouldn't, then I simply just take it to God and practice that. And it does take practice. Stuff doesn't just happen overnight, but the more we practice it, the more we become better at it. And you know, forgiveness is a big part of what we do. It's why when I'm the first prayer in a, you know, my worship would be, you know, prayer of approach, and it would include forgiveness. We're coming to God right at the start of the worship and we're asking for forgiveness. And you know, every time we confess, we receive the same promise. That God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this morning, let's remember that God's forgiveness is based on his character. He is faithful and just, and he has promised to forgive everyone who confesses their sins. Whether we're struggling with guilt from the past, or we might be carrying shame about something that we've done or not done or wish we'd done, whether we are convinced that we are beyond forgiveness, please remember this. God's promise, this is a promise from God's word. You know, I worked with people coming out of prison for a long time, and you did not have to tell my guys that they were sinners. They absolutely knew, you know, so sad. They had no family by that time, no friends around them or decent friends. You know, society had written them off. And, you know, this was a tremendous promise for some of my guys, absolutely, you know. And they were very open to confessing their sins and trying to get right with God. It was amazing to watch. So if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, that's a promise from God, a God who cannot lie. The God whose track record is perfect, we've saw that, I said, through this series so far. The God whose track record is perfect. The God who proved his love for us by sending his son to die for us. So let's come again to him today. Let's confess our sins. Let's receive his forgiveness. And then we can experience the freedom that comes from knowing that we are forgiven and cleansed. And remember that this forgiveness, this is so important. It's not just for us. It's for everyone who will confess their sins and trust in Jesus Christ. You know, that is such great news. And that is our privilege to be able to share that with others. And whatever we're carrying, whatever we might be ashamed of or we think might be unforgivable, remember this. God's forgiveness is so much bigger than our sin. God's forgiveness is so much bigger than our sin. And you know, his love is stronger than our shame. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the promise. That's the hope. And that there is the gospel. Amen. Let us again join our hearts together in prayer. Loving God, we come before you now and we are very grateful for the promise of forgiveness that we find in your word. We thank you, Father, that you've made a way for us to be completely forgiven and thoroughly cleansed. Lord Jesus, we thank you for going to the cross to pay the penalty for us. We thank you that your sacrifice was enough to satisfy God's justice and make forgiveness possible. We confess, O God, that we are sinners and we are in need of your grace. And we acknowledge now that we have failed you in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, and sometimes in our motives. And at times we have not loved you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And at times we have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. But we thank you, O God, that you are faithful and just. And you will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we thank you that your forgiveness is based on your character and the finished work of Jesus Christ. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would help us to live in the freedom that comes from knowing that we are completely forgiven. Would you help us to confess regularly our sins and to receive your forgiveness with grateful hearts? O God, give us courage to be honest about our failures and faith to trust in your promises. And help us to live with confidence and boldness, knowing that we are right with you. Lord, we pray for anyone today who's never maybe experienced your forgiveness. And we ask that you open their hearts to receive the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Help them to understand that your love is stronger than anything that they've ever done. And that your grace is sufficient for their need. Gracious God, we also pray that you would help us to be able to share that good news with others. Help us to be witnesses of your forgiven grace and point others to the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. O God, may we leave here today with a deeper understanding again of your forgiveness and a greater commitment to living lives that bring glory to your name. All this we pray in the very precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Saviour, and our King. Amen.